about 18 years. First time I spoke here was in 2006. I've been here at least a dozen times over. Thank you, Paul. Paul's my prayer partner today. I've shared with you each time I've come stories like the ones you've just seen, stories about people whose lives have been forever changed by coming into contact with God's Word, either placed directly into their hands by a Gideon or auxiliary member, or placed within their reach by a Gideon or auxiliary member. I thought today it would be nice for you to see and hear from some of these people firsthand, so that you could know just the scope and the power of God's Word in changing lives, and the extent to which Gideons and auxiliary around the world go to get God's Word into people's hands, in schools in India, in jails in Arkansas, and on street corners in Lima, Ohio. You heard from Chelly. Now, she was interesting. She was the lady from India, right? She got sort of secondhand. Nobody put a Bible in her hand. They put it in the hands of her teacher, who became a Christian, from Orthodox Hindu to Christian. It happens a lot in India. And then she shared it with Chelly and brought Chelly to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Her salvation cost her her earthly family. They disowned her, but she inherited a heavenly family that includes you. You heard from Don, who received a Bible in prison. You heard all the turmoil in his life with his daughter dying. And in the past, when I've come here, I've told you about other people in prison. Christopher Yuan, Mary Kay Beard, and even closer to home, Bruce Rogers, who was arrested right here in Durham County and spent some time in jail in Wake County. Mary Kay, of course, went on to found Angel Tree Ministry. Christopher Yuan became an evangelist, and Bruce Rogers became a pastor right across the county line here in Wake County. We take Bibles to prisons. We share the Word of God with prisoners, and their lives are changed. You heard from Mark. Now, Mark is one of my favorites because Mark received one of these actually from his sister or a brother, somebody in his family who had gotten one of these from a Gideon just out on a street corner somewhere. Remember Hallelujah Pete, the local Gideon. That's sometimes how people are known, as Hallelujah Pete. They'll go out there and they'll share these with people on the street, and when they get a chance, they'll take them to the back and show them God's plan of salvation. We call that the GPS. These are our personal workers' testaments. We call those PWTs. We give them away every chance we get, and if we get a chance, we take people to the back and show them God's plan of salvation. In each of these testimonies, you saw and heard how God's Word does not return to him void, but accomplishes that which its purposes, and prospers in the thing whereto he sent it. For many years, you have provided financial and prayer support for the Gideons International. You have supported me, you've supported Paul, Jim, George, other members of this church who are Gideons, and our auxiliary members. You've prayed for us, you contributed financially, and I just wanted to thank you this morning for all of that, for all these many years. And then I want to ask you to do it again. There's an insert in your bulletin. This is really neat. You have this inside your bulletin. This insert tells you a little bit more about the Gideons International. And we don't miss a trick. There's an envelope inside that you can put your donation in today. Put it in the box in the back, or you can just put a donation directly in the box. There's a credit card slip here for those of you who want to use a credit card, or as my daughters call it, Flintstone Pay. But on the back, we are up to date. There's a QR code. Point your smartphone at that, and I understand this will suck money right out of your phone. I've tried it, and it works. So we don't miss a trick. We'll find a way. But the thing is, you've always been generous with your financial support. I'm not that concerned about that today. I want to talk to you about some other ways that you can support the Gideon ministry year-round. First, I would ask you to pray for us. Paul and I went into a room this morning and prayed. The last time I was here, one of the ladies' Sunday school classes prayed for me. And I know that you all have been praying for me each time I have come here. We pray for you. Every Saturday, we get together over at Bob Evans. We have a list of churches that we pray for. About every 11 weeks, Grove Park comes up. We pray for you. And Dale gets a postcard in the mail. We prayed for you today. Last summer, I was in Louisville, Kentucky, at the International Convention of the Gideons International. Every day of that, and the people from all over the world came to Louisville, Kentucky. You can imagine what that looked like. And a lot of them came. We encouraged people from other countries to come in native dress. So people from Africa and Asia, they weren't hard to spot on the street when they were out sharing God's word with people. But every day of the convention, Gideons and Auxiliary, usually 50, 60, 70 or more, would spread out over Louisville, handing out these little New Testaments to people and telling them about Jesus. On Saturday afternoon, one of my brothers and I went out to the Highland section of town, and we hadn't been there long. And somebody asked, "What are y'all doing?" See, in Kentucky, they talk like we do. "What are y'all doing?" So we explained, we are out here telling people about Jesus and sharing God's word with them. He thought for a second. "That's wonderful." And then I did something I don't think I've ever done before. I said, "Would you pray for us?" And he did. Standing right there in front of his restaurant, he was the chef. He was on a little break. Right there in front of his restaurant, on a busy sidewalk with people passing by, we bowed and he prayed for us right there. It was just a few minutes later that we encountered Aries. Aries was a gentleman who, I'm not sure what his background was, but we started a conversation with him. And eventually I asked Aries, "Could you read a couple of verses in the back of this New Testament for me?" He said, "Okay." So I took him to Romans 3, actually first I took him to John 3:16, "Jesus loves you." And I took him to Romans 3:23, "We're all sinners." Then I took him to Romans 6:23. There's a cure for that. And then I took him down to Revelation 3:20. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Everybody can be saved." He read that and he got real quiet. I said, "Aries, would you like to ask Jesus to come into your heart?" He said, "Yes, I would." He prayed the sinner's prayer in the back of that New Testament, signed his name, signifying that today I am a child of God. I have given my life to Christ. Now, the thing is, back at the hotel, there were hundreds and hundreds of people praying for us. They were praying for every person who got on that bus and went to some part of Louisville to share God's word with people. They were praying that we would have divine appointments, that we would encounter people who were looking for answers in this life. Every time we saw another Gideon or Auxiliary member talking with somebody, we would stop what we were doing, unless we were also doing the same thing, and we'd pray for them. People all over the world had been praying for those of us who were going to Louisville, that we would meet people, that we would have an opportunity to speak to them, and that they would respond to God's word. You've heard prayer changes things? Let me offer a slight correction to that. Prayer changes people. I would ask you to continue to pray for us as we continue to pray for you. Pray for Dale. Pray for this church, that this church would remain faithful to God's work here in this community. Now, second, I would invite you to continue using these Gideon cards. There's a display right out there in the vestibule. And there are a couple of things about the Gideon cards that you might not know. And actually, there's more information in that bulletin insert about Gideon cards. You can pick them up here, or you can go to sendtheword.org and order any card that you want to get if you don't see exactly the one out there that you like. You've also, for the last 3 years, participated in Birthday for Jesus. Thank you for doing that. Grove Park has been our leader in Birthday for Jesus. I don't know if it's the whole church or a small group gets together, but every year for the past 3 years, you all have participated in Birthday for Jesus. That is a great, great way to purchase Bibles that we take to the various places that we hand them to people or put them in their reach. But now, you probably didn't know this about the Gideon Card program. About one Bible out of five in North Carolina is paid for by somebody sending a Gideon card in memory, in recognition, thinking of you, praying for you. One of those cards, and people who donate Bibles in honor or in memory of someone, one out of five Bibles that we distribute here in North Carolina is paid for through that program. In fact, throughout the state of North Carolina, if you go any place in the world, any day of the week, and you open up a box of 100 New Testaments, anywhere from Argentina to Zimbabwe, the first Bible out of that box was paid for by somebody in North Carolina who sent a Gideon card. 1% of all the scriptures in the world were paid for by someone in North Carolina who sent a Gideon card. And the other thing about this that you may have never noticed, if you've ever looked on the back of a Gideon card, there's a salvation testimony. There's a short story about somebody who picked up a Bible in a hotel or someplace else, read it, and was saved. Their life was changed forever simply after picking up a Bible that somebody paid for in sending a Gideon card. When we put a Bible in a hotel room, whether it's paid for by Gideon card or some other way, that Bible will sit there for maybe 6 years. That's about the average life expectancy of a Bible that we put in a hotel or motel room. In that amount of time, that Bible will have an opportunity to witness to as many as 2,300 people. And for some of those 2,300 people, that will be the very first time they have ever encountered God's Word. This is important. Give a card. Send the word. Change a life. Just like it says on that Gideon card display. Now, another way to support the Gideons is through Friends of Gideons. When I was here a couple of years ago, we talked about that. And it's a wonderful program. In fact, we've got, I think, 15, 20 Friends of Gideons in our camp. It changes almost daily. This is an organization. It's not members of the Gideons International. It's Friends of Gideons. In fact, there are some camps in North Carolina, I think of Alamance East, has more friends than they have members. There's a fellow over there who's really gung-ho about Friends of Gideons. He's recruited 75 or 80. They've got about 25 members and 75 or 80 friends. That's great because it's a wonderful way to find out what's going on with the Gideons International. You get a newsletter, and you even get invitations to a lot of the events that we sponsor. In fact, just recently, two of our friends for our camp have been so impressed by what they have seen the Gideons and Auxiliary doing, they turned in their applications for membership a couple of weeks ago, and right now, International is processing those applications. It's a great, great way to find out more about what we're doing. On the table out in the vestibule, there are some brochures about that. I would encourage you to stop by there and have a look at that before you leave today. Now, we've also recently started a program called Conversations. Sebastian Person was here last year speaking to you. Sebastian has qualified to lead workshops on conversations, which is basically a simple, conversational, non-confrontational way of sharing Jesus with people. I've talked to Dale about this, so you may be hearing more about this in the near future. Let me tell you, well, you've heard Sebastian, so you know what kind of workshop he puts on. He is on fire. So if that's something you all want to do, I know that Sebastian will come and lead that, and you will be tickled to death when he comes to do that. Now, the real reason I'm here today is, or my main reason, I want to invite some of you to join the Gideon's International. Matthew 9:37 tells us that the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. I'm looking for some laborers. There's a lot to be done, and we need some help. I know you already have three Gideons in this church, but I can't believe that I should leave here today without talking to at least one more man who ought to be a Gideon, and his wife, if he has one, to be a member of the auxiliary. If you are a Christian, business, or professional man in good standing with this church, I want to invite you to become a Gideon, and your wife, if you have one, to be a member of the auxiliary. I'll tell you why this is so urgent right now. Next February, we have an opportunity to go to UNC Chapel Hill and distribute 15,000 New Testaments. If you've ever been to Chapel Hill, you know what a steep hill that is to climb. 15,000 people to hand them the Word of God. We don't have the manpower right now to do that, but we have been invited to go. So we're going to need some help. You've seen on the news what's going on our college campuses right now. Here's an even scarier thought. A few years from now, those kids are going to be running this country. I'll let you think about that for a second. You've seen the influence that false doctrines can have on young people. Somebody needs to go and tell them the truth, to share God's word with them. I know firsthand what that's all about. Some of you may be able to remember the 60s. I was an angry young man demonstrating on the campus of the University of Georgia. I was out there with them. But you know what? Somebody cared enough about me to share the truth with me. Not everybody on my campus was that fortunate. Some of them never changed. They remain today, I think, they're angry old men. But somebody cared enough about me to share the good news with me and tell me the truth. We need to do the same for them. Last fall, several of us went over to UNC Greensboro from Durham, Orange, and Alamance counties, and I think some from further west, all went to UNCG. And in 2 days, we were able to hand out 4,000, a little over 4,000 New Testaments to college students and some to faculty and other people, staff, just walking around. But the main thing was there were seven professions of faith. We would get together at the end of each day. How many boxes did you empty today? Did you have anyone make a confession of faith? Oh, yeah, I did. Seven young people gave their lives to Christ on the UNCG campus just last fall. Now, when I was here 2 years ago, I told you about Jim Boone, a student at NC State. This was a long, long time ago. He got one of these college New Testaments and, of course, threw it right in the backpack, forgot all about it. But years later, he got in a jam. He said, wait a minute. Oh, started reading it and gave his life to Christ. There's no expiration date on God's word. It was just as potent when he took it out of his book bag as when he put it in years before. When I was here in 2019, I told you about Christopher Jones, a young man who had gotten a bad grade in one of his courses, and he had decided, I'm going to get even with that professor and just wreck his life. Well, little did he know that the Gideons were on campus that day. One of them handed him a New Testament, encouraged him to read it. And he thought, well, this is a great cover. Guy sitting here on a bench reading a Bible. Who's going to suspect him of anything? But he got to Romans 12:19. Romans 12:19 not only stopped that attack before it started, it changed his life. And today he's serving God faithfully with his wife. I'm not going to read that passage to you. I'm going to give you Romans 12:19 as a homework assignment. But I promise not to give a test on it. So don't come looking for me later. Now, before COVID, we used to go to North Carolina Central every single fall to hand out these little New Testaments to students there. It was wonderful. Everybody was glad to see us. And nearly everybody took a New Testament from us, and some of them even let us talk to them. I mean, people were running from the bus stop to class, and sometimes it got real hectic, and so we were just, you know, handing them out like candy. But every once in a while, we got to actually talk to somebody. My brother, Clyde Williams, offered a New Testament to a young man on campus that day, and he declined. Now, that happens sometimes. But then he said, no, you don't understand. Let me explain. He said, you fellows were here 3 years ago handing out those little Bibles. I wasn't a Christian then, but I took one. And I took it home, and I started reading it. And today, I'm a Christian. I just wanted to stop by and say thank you for what you're doing here. They do appreciate the fact that somebody is out there telling them the truth and sharing God's word with them. Now, more than ever, our college students need someone to share God's word with them. We have an opportunity, but we're going to need your help. I know that you're going to pray for us, but we need one or two of you to come and go with us to accomplish this task of putting 15,000 copies of God's word into the hands of impressionable young people. Now, beyond the colleges and universities, we still have other things that we need to do. There are hotels that need Bibles. There are prisons that need Bibles. There are lost people who need somebody to tell them about Jesus, and others who just need a word of encouragement. You could make a big, big difference in somebody's life as a member of the Gideons International. Now, for more than a century, we have been known primarily as those old guys, and as some say, and their dads, who put Bibles in hotels. I wish I could erase that image, because it's just such a small part of what we do. Of course, we still do that, and we've done it for years, since 1908. But in 1941, in the fall, we started placing New Testaments into the hands of American servicemen and women just before the attack on Pearl Harbor. After the war, we started going into public schools, sharing God's word with elementary and secondary students. In the 50s, we began placing scriptures in jails. In the 60s, we started the Memorial Bible Program, which of course now is the Gideon Card Program. In the 70s, what a wonderful time. We went on to college campuses for the first time in the 1970s. We saw what was going on there and said, wait a minute, that's a field. That's a field ripe and ready to harvest. So we started in the 70s going to college campuses. In the 80s, anybody remember Madeline Murray O'Hare? She and other atheists in the 60s and 70s made it impossible for the Gideons to go into public schools. So we came up with a plan to distribute New Testaments on public sidewalks in fulfillment of our First Amendment rights. Oh, we had lawyers working on this. We did everything by the book, so now we have sidewalk distributions where we can't get into the schools. There are still a few schools that let us in, but in the 80s, we started doing that. In the 90s, we distributed over 1 million nurse testaments and over 1 million military testaments during Operation Desert Storm. And in the last 20 or so years, we have adapted and overcome all sorts of obstacles for getting the Word of God into people's hands. We have found new ways to tell the old, old story, and we will continue to improvise, adapt, and overcome to do the one thing that we are bound to do, and that is to tell people about Jesus and lead them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We've got one other thing that we've just recently started. It's called Witness at the Well. This is based on Jesus' encounter with the Samaritan woman at the well in John chapter 4. If you'll recall, Jesus sat down, the woman came to the well, he started a simple conversation with her. And in the course of that conversation, he led it around to, "I offer you living water." She said, "I want that living water." We go to places where people gather, the mall, bus station, places like that, and we start conversations. We ask them about their lives. We pray with people. We pray for people. And then we offer them living water. This is just one of the many, many things that we're doing right now to make sure that people see and hear and respond to the Word of God. As a member of the Gideon's International, you'll have an opportunity to reap a bountiful harvest right here in this community, or if you like, somewhere else in the world. I believe that someone in this sanctuary right now needs to be a Gideon, and his wife, if he has one, needs to be a member of the auxiliary. Paul and I are going to be at that table after the close of the service today. If you feel God leading you in this direction, please stop by and see us, and we can tell you more about this opportunity. And at that, I think I'm about done. Dale, thank you for this time. I always appreciate the time you give me here. I have a meeting at 5, but I think I want to end a little bit before that. But I could be here until then. But no, seriously, I want to thank you all for your ongoing support of the Gideon's International. Your prayers, your gifts, your encouragement of me and Paul and Jim and George and the others that have been here in the past. I thank you all for that. And may God continue to bless Grove Park Chapel. Thank you.
Three or four things to remember as you leave. Be sure to go by the table and look at the material that's there. Talk with Mike. Let him know that you appreciate his being here. If you'd like to contribute financially, whatever you put in the box, if you want to write a check, make it out to Gideon's International. And everything that goes in there will go to the Gideon's ministry. I don't know of a more efficient, selfless ministry than the Gideon's ministry. And it is focused entirely on God's Word. And that's what God has promised to honor. The power for salvation is in the gospel. It's not in my ideas or anybody's fluency or whatever. He honors his word. And so when we put his word into the hands of somebody, it might, as he mentioned, it might take years for them to read it, but it's just as potent 7 years down the road as it was when they first touched it. I don't know how the judgment seat of Christ will work. I do know that every believer will one day stand personally before the Lord Jesus and give an account of his or her life from the moment we put our trust in Christ until we breathe our last on this planet. And he's the only one who can figure all that out, our motives, our actions. But I suspect there will be a lot of surprises when we are introduced to somebody that we never met. Say, "Oh, by the way, let me introduce to you so-and-so from Zimbabwe. You paid for the Bible that was given to him, and he put his trust in Christ." I suspect that will happen hundreds of thousands of times at the judgment seat of Christ. But it won't happen for us if we're not involved in that process, either giving the Bible ourselves, paying for the Bibles to go forth, praying for the individuals. You see, the Lord, He's in charge of taking care of all that and keeping the record, and He never misses anything. And so we won't know until we get there. So we give, we work, we share, we pray, and we remain faithful until He calls us home. Let's stand. I'm going to close us in prayer for right now, and then Cliff is going to come and lead us in a closing song. And you be sure, as you leave today, to go by and let Mike know you appreciate him being here and the other things we've talked about. Father, we thank you for the work of the Gideon's ministry. We ask, Lord, that you would bless this ministry. Continue, Father, to keep it going. Raise up new workers, even from this congregation today. New Gideons, new auxiliary workers, new friends of Gideon's to carry on this ministry. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. We just commit it to you. And Lord, there may be someone with us today who's never trusted the Savior. Maybe something shared, one of the testimonies that Mike shared or in the video might have touched their heart, and they see that there's never been a time where they personally put their trust in Christ. Let this be that moment. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.